We say good evening as well. Brother Glenn requests that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. As we think of that song that was sung there, that love that lifted me. The love. In our Sunday school lessons over the last few weeks, we've studied a little bit about charity. And you know, in the Sunday school hour and the sermon this morning on unity, edifying, drawing together, the importance of each part of this body, of drawing together and keeping that glue in view, charity, going the second mile for our brothers and sisters. Reading now from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. All who are able at this time, shall we reverently kneel for a short word of prayer.
Bring you warm Christian greetings tonight. Thankful that we can gather together in the house of the Lord. In two past speaking engagements, I was considering Christ in the church, the example of Christ in the church that we find in the scripture. And I covered two, the first speaking assignment, and the second assignment I covered two more. And tonight we'd like to come to another one, and another example that we find in scripture that portrays the relationship between Christ and the church. And tonight's would be number five on my list, and it is the head and the many-membered body. The head and the many-membered body. So tonight, these are known as similitudes. When we talk about these examples in Scripture of Christ and the church, they are similitudes. In other words, they have similarities amongst things or people, a likeness that you find as you do some comparing, and resemblance. And so tonight, the head and the many-membered body, and I'm starting out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I trust tonight our time together might be edifying. I was really struck by that word the past two Sunday school lessons, that how that word edified is, and edification is just repeated there in 1 Corinthians 14. Anything we do, brothers and sisters, in the church, in our meetings, needs to be for the edification of our brother and sister. Otherwise, it is totally wasted and a loss. So tonight, as we think of ourselves as members, we're members of the body of Christ. Christ is our head. So the head is Jesus Christ. The many-membered body is you and I tonight. It was the followers of Jesus Christ all down through the ages, and including all born-again followers of Jesus Christ tonight. And so we have this relationship between ourselves, all these many members that we are, and our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have a relationship among ourselves, me with each of you, and you with me. And I think we'll consider that tonight as we look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Brother Eric read there, and I appreciate his prayer, and each one of you who have prayed, and that you would continue to pray. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. A little word here about this baptism here in verse 13. This is not the baptism of water, but it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that you have that phrase at the end of verse 13, all made to drink into one Spirit. It's saying the same thing again here. It's the same thing, the baptism of the Spirit. The believer, I want to say tonight, does not wait and does not have to pray and pray and pray and hopefully someday be hit with it. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to you and was given to you when you received Jesus Christ, when you were regenerated, when you received the new birth, when you became redeemed and saved. You received the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit right then and there. The scripture is very clear here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 that all believers have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that already unites us. That already starts to make us a close-knit body. That we would all share the same Holy Spirit of God at our conversion. And then we follow that up with the water baptism, according to the commandments of Scripture. Repent and be baptized, and thou shalt be saved. We're baptized of the Holy Spirit, and then we obediently enter the waters of baptism, the earthly waters of baptism. Verses 14 through 23, Paul goes on and on here and explains this many-membered body that you and I are a part of tonight. He says in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. It does us good to remember that. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, cantankerous attitudes, contention, you know, arguing about who we are or who we're not or who we don't want to be. And I want to be like brother so-and-so. I want to have their gift. I'm not satisfied with my own. This all leads to a crumbling of the body, a division of the body, schisms. And you see in verse 16, the ears, you know, I'm not the eye, then I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Where would the complete body be if you didn't have the individual members, if you didn't have the individual parts? What kind of a human body would you and I have if it was all ears or all eyes? We might be quite the strange sight, and it wouldn't work well together. And you might not think about your feet that often, but they carry you. And your hands do so many tasks for you. And on we go with the members of the natural human body that God has chosen to make us with. All the members of the human body are important. What we want to see tonight is all the members of the spiritual body, the body of Christ, the many-membered body of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ's body, are very important. There's not one sitting here tonight that is not very important in the kingdom of God, in the church here at Pleasant Hill. Every member is very important. Every member has work to do. Some of your work might not be very noticeable, but don't downplay it. For God's work to prosper and for the church to do what it's called to do, Every one of these gifts needs to be carried out faithfully by you and I tonight. For the church to function properly, you need to do your part, and I need to do my part. And we need to do it harmoniously along with all the members that are around us. And not for some personal goal or some personal agenda. Verses 25 and 26. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That verse speaks to me. That the members should have the same care one for another. I believe that's telling me that I should not have a higher care for one member compared to another. I didn't study the verse very in depth, but I believe it's telling us that. That we should have the same care one for another. That every member should be important to us. Every member should be loved by us. Every member should be held in esteem and respected by us. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Do I live that out? I'm asking myself tonight. You can ask yourself, do we live that out? Over here, a brother is suffering. Over there, a sister is suffering. Are we where they are? With our thoughts, with our heart, with our emotions, with our prayers, with our concern, with our compassion. You know, we can just glide over these verses and not take them personal and not take them seriously. But let's take them seriously tonight. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Have you ever found it difficult to rejoice because someone was honored? Shame on us. It should be like an honor to us to rejoice in the honor that's been bestowed upon a brother or sister. If our hearts are right. And so we want to have the same care one for another, and we want us connect when they suffer, that we suffer with them. And when they rejoice, it might be our rejoicing. Rejoice because that brother's rejoicing. That sister's rejoicing. Something to truly rejoice in this life here below where there's so much trouble and pain and sorrow. Verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Or your members individually is what that word particularly means. Ye are the body of Christ. What a privilege tonight that you and I are made worthy through the blood of Christ, through his love and forgiveness, that we would be members of his body, the body of Christ. And we are all members individually. We're noticed individually. We're counted individually by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't just die in general for the church. He died for you and he died for me. How are we responding to that love and to be included in the royal heavenly family of God, adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ? It's overwhelming. And so in particular, or individually tonight, we are members of the body of Christ. We all need each other tonight. Look back at verses 21 and 22. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. How dare we ever say that there is a brother or sister that we're not in need of? God have mercy. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. One brother cannot say to another brother or sister, I have no need of thee. I do have need of you. I have need of every one of you. Sometimes I need your patience. Sometimes I need your forgiveness. I always need your understanding. I always need your love. Tonight we need each other. In the natural body, the pain in one part affects and afflicts the whole. Sometimes if the knee hurts, you will adjust even without thinking about it, and then some other part will hurt. The natural body, pain in one area affects the whole body, and so it must be in Christ's body. We should feel honored when our brothers and sisters are honored. And we should count it a privilege and a joy to suffer when our brother and sister suffers. Verses 28 to 30 in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, talks about the gifts, the different areas of service, the abilities. Why? And I shared this last Sunday morning in Sunday school. And I want to share those two verses with all of you tonight. Ephesians 4, why these gifts? Why these different responsibilities in the church? Is it so someone can feel important? Absolutely not. Ephesians chapter 4, 12 and 13, it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ tonight. Till we all come in the unity of the truth and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a complete man, a mature man in Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's the whole reason for the body of Christ to have various gifts, various abilities, various areas that one can use for the well-being of the whole body, for the edifying of those around you. We should rejoice tonight in the gifts of other people. We should rejoice tonight when we see another brother or sister carrying out and practicing and sharing their gift to the edification of you and me. We should rejoice in that instead of being envious and jealous of whatever it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. I better get out of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry about that. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. And we were just there on some other verses, but it says here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The sermon tonight, the head in the many-membered body. You and I are the many-membered body. Jesus Christ is the head, which is the head, even Christ. Listen to verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's you and I, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You and I are joints tonight. You and I are bones. We are different parts of the body. We're hands, we're feet, we're eyes. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's that edification again. And it is through love that we carry out our responsibilities and our gifts. Love for our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Love for our brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ, the head of the body, the church. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body. You and I are his body tonight, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Isn't that a beautiful scripture about Christ, our head and the body, his many-membered body? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. There it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ is the Savior tonight. He rose from the grave. He gave his life on the cross. He rose from the grave. He sits at the right hand of God now and intercedes for us. He is the Savior of the many-membered body tonight. Going to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. These verses are so exciting. And actually, this morning, Brother Melvin Hayde, when he opened, he was talking about abundance and fullness in Christ. Colossians 1, 18, and he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the way that really reads is, and where it says, and he is the head of the body, and he himself is the head of the body, is what the Greek really means. The word himself translates the Greek intensive pronoun, signifying that Jesus, rather than any angelic being, is the church's head. There it says, who is the beginning? That phrase there in verse 18. Beginning means cause or origin from which the church comes, or the cause of her very existence, Jesus Christ. The firstborn from the dead, here in this verse. The firstborn from the dead, the first of a new creation, the church, the resurrected saints, the resurrected church, never to die again. The basis of our resurrection hope. Not that he was the first to ever rise from the dead. He himself raised Lazarus. And there were others who were raised from the dead. Not that he was the first to ever rise from the dead, but the first and the only one to rise by and on his own power. And was declared to be the Son of God and Lord of all things. Jesus is the head of the resurrection, rising as the first fruits. 1 Corinthians, very well-known scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So Jesus Christ rose from the dead as he said he would. 3 days later, after he was crucified and buried, he rose from the dead to live forevermore. And Jesus Christ is the head of our salvation tonight. He is the head of our hope. He is the head of our future. He is the head of all eternity. And our eternal life that we have to look forward to. In all things, the scripture continues there in Colossians, in all things that he might have the preeminence. The preeminence is first place. Number one, all things he might have the preeminence. The Father willed that Jesus would have all power in heaven and in earth. Above the angels, he hath obtained a more excellent name than they, it says in Hebrews, chapter 4. He must have the preeminence tonight in your heart and in mine. There's no arguing about it. There's no compromising about it. Where am I at with that? Where are you? Jesus Christ must be first. He must be number one. Self must be dethroned. Self must be set aside. Self must be in submission to the head, our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who must have all preeminence tonight. He must have the preeminence in our hearts. John chapter 5 and verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. It's the life I'm living honoring the Son. Is the life you're living tonight honoring the Son? And in that, are we honoring the Father? It says in Colossians 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. A very powerful verse. In him should all fullness dwell. The reason is being given here in verse 19, for that previous phrase at the end of verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That is why Jesus should be preeminent. All the fullness of deity is in him. Jesus' fullness as head flows down to the members of his body. And think about this tonight. This is rich. This is worth more than all the world. Jesus, his fullness as head flows down to the members of his body, you and I. His righteousness, his power, his love, his redemption, the fullness of all that Jesus is passed to the members of his body. You and I tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our blessed head, our Lord and our Savior, the head of our many-membered body, is passing down blessings with all spiritual blessings, it says, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is rich, these words of Scripture tonight. How do we react and how do we respond to them and how do we live in light of them? Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the fullness of deity. And we shared that scripture. And now we see here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Are we experiencing the richness, the fullness, the completeness, the peace, the contentedness that flows from our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to us, the many members of his body? Are we experiencing that tonight? Is that reality? Is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? That we would be experiencing the riches and the fullness and the completeness and the peace and the contentedness that flows down from our head and is blessing all the members of the body, including you and I tonight. Are we experiencing this? Am I? Are you? If not, is it because we are fighting God concerning his placement of us in his body? Back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And all those verses are actually look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if you and I are accepting and willing to serve in that position where it pleased him to place us, our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen and it pleased him to set you in a certain spot and to set me in a certain spot. If we are accepting that and if we are rejoicing in that and what we can do to edify the body and to bring praise and glory and honor to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe we are experiencing all those blessings that flow from him, our head, down into the many-membered body. The riches of his grace and his mercy and his love and that peace that passeth all understanding. But if we're not, does it mean we're fighting God? And we're like that lump of clay that has the audacity to say to the potter, what do you think you're making? Where do you think you placed me? What do you think you're doing in my life? And that is a life that will end up in total ruin and destruction. And so if we are not experiencing all these riches in Christ tonight, is it because we are fighting God about where he has placed us, what he has given us to do in his body? How about the other examples of Christ and the church that we've considered in past speaking assignments? I'm going to go over them quickly. Number one, the shepherd and the sheep we talked about back toward the end of January. The shepherd and the sheep. Are we obediently following our shepherd as submissive, obedient, cooperative sheep? That was taken from John chapter, the shepherd and the sheep. This example, this similitude of Christ and the church, is taken from John chapter 10. And I just want to key in on an important verse there. John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They know his voice, and they listen to that voice, and they obey that voice. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow. If our life tonight isn't what it should be, if we're not a radiant, rejoicing, joyful Christian with peace that the world could never begin to understand, are we not obedient, submissive sheep who follow him and know his voice? The second illustration of Christ in the church that we shared some time ago was the vine and the branches. And that was taken from John chapter 15. And a key verse there, you know, are we attached to that life source, that life-giving source, and that joy and that peace and that strength to live for the Lord? Are we attached? Are we attached to the vine? Are we abiding? And the test for that, brothers and sisters, is in John chapter 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so again, when we find ourselves outside of that wonderful place of God's will and we're not experiencing the joy and the peace and the victory, the power of Christ, is it because we have detached ourselves from the life-giving vine and we're stubborn and we're rebellious branches that want to live our own life? The third example of Christ in the church that we'd considered in the past was the chief cornerstone and the stones of the building. And that is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. As stones of the building, are we willing to take our place and support and praise our chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only one who can hold it all together? The fourth example we used of Christ in the church was the high priest and the kingdom of priests. Do our lives point others to our high priest, the one and only one who can forgive sins, who has power and the authority to forgive sins? And he's the only one. There'll never be another. Do we point others by our lives that we're living to the high priest And again, our blessings and our position in Christ. Isn't it wonderful and it's powerful to come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find help in time of need, to find grace to help in time of need? Oh, that's such a rich, powerful scripture there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The throne of grace, obtaining mercy, finding grace to help in time of need. Our high priest. Brothers and sisters, tonight, with Jesus Christ our head, we are blessed. We are rich. We're in a position that all the world needs to be in. But most of them are not there. And then number five was tonight. The head and the many-membered body. The example of Christ in the church, the head and the many-membered body. In closing tonight, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, hath made alive us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us all sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God tonight for our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are made worthy through the blood of Christ to be members of his body.
I want to thank Brother Glenn for his comments this evening. I want to give a little testimony to what he was talking about. You know, a lot of times when we get jealous among each other and we think someone else has a better talent than we do, and we get to focus on that talent, we forget what God has given each one of us and the importance each one of us to play in the role of Jesus Christ. You know, the cool thing about God is that he wouldn't have us to be ignorant. So he gives us a lesson to help us to understand this, and the lesson he has given me is each one of my children. As out of you, each one of my children, I can tell you, I can get down through and tell you what each one of them mean to me and play a perfect role in my life and to teach me different things. And as I see them argued among each other sometimes and thinking that they wish they were somebody else, it reminds me of when I get dissatisfied with my talents and what God has given me and allows me to understand that each one of us play an important role in what God has called us to do, not to forget how insignificant, it might seem insignificant because we can do it, but not to be focused on something that we can't do that someone else is good at. So with these thoughts in mind, just stand for a word of prayer.